And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you even for your grace. We thank you for the spirit of revelation and understanding you've released even in the atmosphere. We ask that in the name of Jesus, that my Father, may you speak unto us. Let your word bring impartation and power to our lives. Let it bring the power of transformation and the power of speed even in our life. Whatever has been tempered with by the enemy, I pray in the name of Jesus that may the Lord restore even unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, God bless you so much. Today I'm starting early because I have a message to deliver. And as soon as I finish the message, we will fire prayer this afternoon. And we believe God for strange dimensions to be released, because this afternoon I have the leading to pray for people. So I want to deliver just a quick word, and we will see what the Lord has for us. Hallelujah. 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 My God. My God. Shelevede varatis. Penos kevele dino darindas ke pola vretaya. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy. If you want some, thank you. Let me share my house now, so that I can preach. I have to preach. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, by the grace of God, we've dealt with so many topics so far. We dealt with the restoration of glory. We have dealt with the restoration, understanding supernatural restoration. We have dealt with the keys for restoration. This afternoon, I want to deal with one particular principle that will help and sustain us mightily. Are you ready for it? This afternoon, by the grace of God, I want to deal with something I have entitled The Principles of Restoration. The principles of restoration. I want you to type it. The principles of restoration. Because we are dealing with restoration. Don't forget. Don't forget. And yesterday we learned about the keys for restoration. Today I want us to deal with the principles of restoration by the grace of God. Church, one of the things I want you to understand, that it is clear that people lose things. It is clear that naturally people lose things. There are people who lose even time. There are people who lose people, and even people lose material things as well. One of the examples, listen, the Bible is full of examples of people and things that have been lost. One of the examples in the Bible said that the sons of the prophet went and borrowed an axe. And they told Elisha that let us go and expand our house, because the house is too small to contain the sons of the prophet. And because the house is too small, let us go and cut trees. And even as they were going, the Bible said that one of the people instructed and said, "My master, if you are not going with us, we are not going." And he followed them. The Bible said, as they were cutting the tree, the head of the axe fell into the water. Have you ever heard that story in the Bible before? The head of the axe fell into the water. It means that they lost something. They lost a material thing. And the Bible said that the prophet asked and said, "Where did it fall?" And they said, "It fell on this side." And he broke a stick and placed the stick on the water. And the Bible said, and the axe head floated again. What does it tell us? It tells us that no matter what is written or hidden or missing in your life, There is a prophetic voice. There is a grace of God that can cause it to be restored. And this is what I want to tell you. That no matter what you've lost in life, God can still restore it back. Even if a metal could respond to a stick. Sir, in the timings and the principles of God, magnet is not supposed to attract only magnet. Because naturally we believe that in the magnetic field, it is only magnet that attract magnet, or copper things are easily attracted by magnet. But this time around, a prophet used a stick to attract a magnet, just to tell you that God can use anything just to bring restoration to your life. And I want to pray for you. I don't know the angle and whatever you've lost in life. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, may every means God will use to restore your life, may God use that means to restore that life in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That is the people losing things, as in material things. In the Bible too, it can be recorded that people lost people. When I say people lost people, it means that people, they lost something that was precious from their sight. But God had the ability to even bring it back to life. One of the examples was the woman of Nain in Luke chapter 7, the verse 15. The widow of Nain lost her son. Jesus touched the bear of the coffin, and the Bible said that the child came back to life. Jesus was able to restore that which was dead. Somebody lost his child, and Jesus restored the child back to the person. In Luke chapter, is it in Luke, I believe? The story of Lazarus, I believe in John chapter 11 rather, I believe in John chapter 11. The story of Lazarus, we all know that Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Lazarus, there was no hope. There was no hope. There was no hope. There was no hope in Lazarus's days. But when Jesus stepped in, somebody who was dead for 4 days was brought back to life. Maybe you've lost somebody precious in life. God has the ability to restore that person back onto you. Maybe you've lost somebody like a helper. Maybe you've lost somebody like a promoter, like somebody like a spouse. Maybe you've lost somebody important in your life. We serve a God that can bring it back. Oh my God. My God. I'm just laying a foundation so that I can start with what I want to teach. The third thing people lose is that people can lose time. I said people can lose what? Time. So when you read Joel chapter 2, the verse 15. When you read Joel chapter 2, the verse 15. You will understand God said, I will restore all the years. Imagine. Joel chapter 2, the verse 15. The Lord said, I will restore all the years. All the years. It means that it doesn't matter the times you have lost in life. It doesn't matter how your destiny is being delayed. The Lord has an ability in restoring years. The Lord has an ability in restoring wasted years. Please, when I quote a scripture, help me by pasting it. Because I want us to pray. That is why I'm rushing God's word. So when I quote a scripture, help me paste it so that people can also read it and get what I'm actually saying. He said, for I will restore the years. God can restore years. It means that there are powers that can steal years from people. When this power succeeds in coming into your life, that is why you will see somebody is 50 years, but this person is still buried. The enemy have succeeded in stealing the years of the person. That is where you will see somebody very aged but still single, no marriage, nothing. It means that the devil can succeed in stealing the person's years. There are people who are graduates but they are not working. No matter what they do with their knowledge in graduations and whatever they learn, the degrees they carry, nothing works for them. The devil is a master strategist in destroying destiny and stealing destiny. But God can also restore whatever the devil steals in our life. That is why, church, listen to me. That is why, let me calm down. People have to understand this message. I don't need to rush. I know it is good to pray, but let me calm down and talk to you. Please, can I calm down and talk to you so that you can really get what I'm trying to say? One of the most essential things that can ever happen to a man is time. Listen to me. One of the precious thing God ever gave to people is called time. Sir, time is one of the precious commodity we don't joke with. When you miss divine timing for your life, you can miss your destiny forever. That is why real dominion on earth is the dominion of time. Because destiny is controlled by time. When you meet somebody right now, I know some of us, we are privileged to work in the hospital. So what I'm about to say, you will get it. When you meet a dead man right now, I'm asking, would the dead man ask of you cars? When you meet a dead man right now, I'm asking a simple question. Will the dead man ask you of money? When you meet somebody right now who is on the hospital bed, almost dying, what do you think the person will ask? Is it not life? Is it not life? I want to take away life. The next thing the person will take, they will ask, if not life, the person will tell you, if I have the ability to go back in time, I would have been able to do something proper with my life. Is it not true? There are most of us today, we have done many things that we tell ourselves that if we had grace, if we had certain power, we would have reversed the hands of time. Is it not true? Because most of us now, we are struggling because we never understood time and we never used time well in our life. Check a man who doesn't respect time. Let the person enter into the diaspora and see how the man suddenly respects what is called time. Check a young lady who decides to say, okay, let me read Bo James, NIV. He said, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. Look at what the Bible said. It said, I will repay you. King James says that I will restore. I will restore. All the wasted years, God has the ability to restore. Some of us, I'm telling you, if we had the certain power, do you know we would have turned the back of the hands of time? Because some of us, the marriage we've entered, we have known and we have learned certain senses that if we knew, we wouldn't have entered. Some of us, the things we have done on this earth, bam, if we had certain things like time, we would have reversed it. He said, I will restore unto you the years. Some of us, the things that is happening in our life, if we had all the grace in life, we would have reversed the hands of time just to make things right. Do you know why? Because we never paid attention to time. Sir, time will teach you lessons on earth if you don't give heed to it. Time is like knowledge. You can never forgo it and expect to succeed.
That is why the Bible said that the sons of Issachar, they were just a number of few people. But they were the people that controlled Israel. Why? Because they understood times and seasons. Sir, anybody that knows how to control time knows how to control destinies. Anybody that knows how to pay, I wish somebody will be blessed this afternoon based on this message. Listen, if you can control time, if you can understand time, sir, you can control destinies. The sons of Issachar, they were heirs and they became giants in the land of Israel, not because of their number, not because of their education, but they had something Israel didn't know. The Bible said they understood times and seasons, and they told Israel what ought to do. Do you understand? It means that when you understand time and you understand season, you know how to live your life with accuracy and precision. They were the people who were dictating on for Israel what to do per time and per season. Most of us, one of the things we don't value in this earth is called time. And that is what the enemy is using just to distract and destroy many people and many destinies. Sir, there is nothing like time waits for any man. No time waits for anybody. Time keeps moving. Don't run to meet it. It doesn't wait for any man. You need to meet it. You need to run to meet it up. Can you hear me? That is why yesterday I was teaching you people, and I told you that one of the laziest things we always tell ourselves, Papa, my grace and God, next year I will marry. Sir, next year doesn't wait for you. Next year is not your mother. Next year is not your father. Next year is not your brother. Sir, if you don't work towards time, if you don't work towards time, if you don't align with time, you'll be miserable. Next year will come and your life will still be the same it was. Don't joke with time. Don't joke with time. And this is the problem of Africans: procrastinations. There is nothing we always want to do on time. We always want to shift time to time. And this is the reason why we are suffering. Do you know why? The reason why the white will always rule over the black, because the white understands time and they work per time. That is why a white person even pays salary per time, not per days. No, per time. Because they value time. They know that if a man can work for 1 hour, the person has done well. The person has to be paid per time. Per time. Because it's through time we get seconds. Is it not true? It is through times we get minutes. It is through time we get hours. It is through times we graduate to get something like a day. It is through time we graduate to get something like a week. It is through time we graduate to get something like a month. It is through time we graduate to get something like a year. Sir, you need to value time. Because people can lose time. People can lose their years. And this is why I'm praying for you. That every time you have wasted and you've lost something precious, even out of your life, I speak. May God restore you in the name of Jesus. May God restore all your years. May God restore all your years.
That is why most of us, if not the mercy of God, by now most of us, we should have been termed as failures. If not the mercy of God, most of us, per our age and per our life right now, we're supposed to be called failures. But there is a bailout system in the presence of God, or in the system of God. There is something called a bailout system, and one of the bailout system is called favor. The other one is called speed. And the third one.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
It's called the mercy of God. That's the three things. And this is a bailout system that the Lord has given to every believer to enjoy per time. Just to let you understand that in life, sometimes per our laziness, our procrastination, and certain carelessness, we might have missed certain divine timing of our life. The only thing God can do just to help us is by showing us favor, or is by showing us mercy to restore that which we have lost and bring it back to our life again. This is how the system of God works. This is how the system of God works. Can I tell you something? One of the things that gives us confidence in this kingdom, there are two things that gives us confidence in the kingdom of God. Please, can I help you this afternoon? Are you sure you want to learn? Are you sure? There are two things that gives us confidence in this kingdom. The first one is God's integrity. The second one is God's word. That is every believer's stronghold and every believer's pillar. As in way I'm mentioning, most of you don't know. That is what I want to teach you. When I tell you that your life is not too late, your life is not a wasted life, you need to believe me. Do you know why? My confidence is not in your age. My confidence is not in the disappointment you are seeing. My confidence is number one, on the integrity of God. What is the integrity of God? The integrity of God is what the Bible said, that God is not a man that he should lie. The integrity of God is what says that God is not a man that he should lie. It means that there is something about God, that there is nothing like lies in God. That means anything God says, that is it. There is nothing and no way God will ever lie. That means it is only people like human beings that has the tendency to lie. But there is something about God called his integrity. And one of the integrity of God is that he doesn't lie. The Bible said, have he said it and will he not do it? Have he said it and will he not do it? It means that when God speaks concerning your destiny, he makes sure he works to confirm his word in your life, because he doesn't want to be looked as if he lied, because he is not a liar. That is not part of his DNA. So one of the things that has given us confidence in the Lord is that, okay, born to fly, don't worry, I'll let you share your testimony very, 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 I want to get to a point so that I'll let you share your testimony. Now, listen to me. One of the confidence we have in the Lord, listen to me. One of the confidence we have in the Lord is because of his integrity. Amen. God has said you are the head. Believe it, you are the head. If God said you are victorious, believe it, you are victorious. Today we read a certain scripture, and we found out that even God can restore our health. Do you remember?
We read a certain scripture in Isaiah, and we found out that God can even restore our health. Hey! As soon as I saw that scripture, I told myself that I will never fall sick on this earth ever again. Even if there is certain thing like sickness in my body, it must check out, because God has the ability to even restore our health. Jeremiah 30 verse 17. He said, I'll give you back your health. God bless you. The King James Version said, I will restore unto you your health. My God, can I pray for somebody who is sick? I decree and declare, I stand on the premises of God's word and I prophesy, may God restore your health back unto you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Kolabasivele timolas. Yeah. The second one is his word. God's word is God's ability. Yeah. God's word is God's ability. God's word is God's ability. It means that when God says something in his word, it shows who he is and what he can do. So if God says that I will restore your years, it's to ring something in your mind that God has the power to control years and time. Is it not true? So if he has the ability to control years and time, and he tells you that he can restore, believe it.
Yes, it's a quarter. So, Obema want to my yati nidi. Is it not what the elder said?
But this God, he is a God that is called talk and do. That is what we call him. Nigerians will say talk and do. He's a talk and do God. He's a talk and do God. When he says it, he does it. He said, talk and do. And this is the confidence we have in him. Now, before we really understand what we call restoration, this is my message this afternoon. I want to draw your attention back to certain few things. I know many of us, we have lost many things in our life before. The question is, one of the things I have learned is that if people doesn't gain knowledge of the reason why they lose things and they don't work on it, they will keep losing it. If people don't find out the reason why they are losing things, they will keep losing it. Why? Because they have not carefully sat down to think and look at their life to be able to see the aspect of their life that is making them fail. If you have not yet identified the fault will keep fighting you. That is why it is good we pray. It is good we prophesy on you. It is good we do all these things to you. But the truth of the matter is that until you sit down to take thought of your life, to really consider the aspect of your life that is making you keep repeating mistakes in life, if you don't identify it and work on it, sir, no matter the oil, let us pour oil upon you till you become like plantain chips. Listen to me. Your destiny will never change until you find out what you always do or what you always say or what you always do that causes certain blessings to lose you or to go out from you. Yeah, we need to find out. So the Lord told me,
point blank that I should come and teach something this afternoon. Because although I am teaching on restoration, people must understand the reason why they lose things. Yeah. Because if they don't know the reason why they lose things, they won't value what we call restoration. Yes. If people don't know the reason why things easily move from their life, when we talk about God restoring it to them, they don't really value it because they don't see any importance in it. But when they get knowledge by understanding the reason why people lose things, sometimes it is not witches, sometimes it is us. And this is what I want to explain by word and by scriptures for you. Are you ready? So this afternoon, I'm teaching the reason why people lose things in life. Because we are still in the week of divine restoration. But we want to understand why people lose things on earth. Number one, lack of discernment. Lack of discernment. Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 1. Give me, I want us to do scriptures right now. Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 1. Lack of discernment. Number one, I want you to type it. Lack of discernment. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 1. And somebody should also give me Isaiah chapter 1, the verse 3. Quickly, so that I can be able to digest the word of God very fast for us. God bless you. I'm waiting. Shela vahati mula fisiaya. Hey, stop typing lack of discernment and give me the scripture. Or I should open my Bible, please. Then wait, let me open my Bible. Now, listen to. Where is the first scripture? I first quoted Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 1. First, give me Hebrews. God bless you. I'll come and read the Isaiah, but I have to first read the Hebrews first. Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 1, quickly. It said, we must pay the most careful attention. Where am I reading from? Okay, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Okay, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may be drift away from it. Okay. Can I get King James? Church, why don't you like King James like that? Why? King James has taken your boyfriend and has your girlfriend. Huh? King James. Let me read King James. It said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. Have you seen? We have to give something we call earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away. It means that in this life, we should be discerning enough to be able to maintain the things given to us, lest these things slip away from us. So you will see that the reason why somebody lost a certain relationship, lost a certain money, lost a certain contract, lost something very precious, was because the person wasn't discerning enough and didn't take carefully heed onto the thing that he was holding, that it eventually slipped away. We need to earnestly heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. It will slip. It will slip. Now, listen to Isaiah 1:3. It said, the ox knoweth his owner. Uh-huh. And the ox, master scribe, but Israel do not know me. My people do not consider. What am I trying to say? He said, even the ox knows me. He knows his master. The master knows even his sheep. But Israel don't know me. Why? Because they have not considered me. What is the Bible trying to say? They have not carefully discerned me enough in their life that even when I am with them, they don't even know I am there. They don't even know per time when I am coming to their life, when I'm coming to visit them. They don't even know. But even an ox or a dog knows that when his master is coming to him, he can perceive his master and welcome his master. Is it not true? Animals can perceive their master and begin to run after their masters and begin to chase after their masters. But God is saying, my people call Israel, they don't know me. Why? Because they've not been able to discern enough in order to know me. Listen to me. One of the things that will make you always the head in life is to be able to know what God is doing per time. Church, can I tell you something? The reason why we lack many good things in our life is because, do you know per time, God can release somebody like a helper unto you? It is discernment that makes us identify our helpers. Do you know that? It is discernment that helps us identify our helpers. It is discernment that will help you identify who your life's partner is. Sir, ma, most of us, we've met our life partners and we've all moved away. We even insulted them. We even ran away. We even said some nonsense thing to them. Some of us, we've parted way with our God destiny people. People God has destined for our life. Some of us, we have parted way away from them. Do you know why? Because we lacked discernment. Sir, we don't work with people with emotions. You will fail. You will miss the mark. We don't work with people with emotions. You will miss the mark. That is why the Bible said, after today, know no man after the flesh. We don't work with people with our natural senses in touch. You will fail. That is why sometimes when somebody does something you don't want, quickly go to God and begin to pray that, Lord, I want to get answers. I want you to show me something. I want you to reveal something to me per time, because we don't follow people with our natural senses and per what we see and per what we feel, you will miss it. That is why when Kwabuta came very broke. You thought Kwabuta was broke and Kwabuta was no good for you. Sir, maybe in the timing of God, Kwabuta is supposed to be a billionaire in the next 5 years. And that would be the person to change your life. Because you are not so discerning enough, you missed it. Kwabuta has gotten problem today. We lose many things in life because we cannot discern. I'm telling you the truth. Lack of discernment is the reason why many of us, we lose certain blessings from our life. Lack of discernment. Mommy, You wouldn't have lost certain things. You wouldn't have lost certain contract. You wouldn't have lost certain huge of pounds, of dollars, of cities. You wouldn't have used it. Listen, you wouldn't have lost it if only you were discerning enough. If only you were discerning enough. But I pray in the name of Jesus, after this meeting, may God quicken your discernment. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
After this meeting, may God quicken your discernment. From today, may your spirit be so sharp. May you not miss anything that is wrong. May you not miss anything that is right too. Anything that is good for your life, when you see it, may you sense it. Anything that is bad for your life, when you see it, may you sense it. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you. Give me Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12, the verse 1 and 2. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I want to teach you something. Somebody else can give me Acts chapter 28, the verse 27. He said, again, a message came to me from the Lord. Now let's read. Son of man. He says, son of man, you live among rebellious who could see the truth if they wanted to, but they don't want to. They could hear me if they will listen, but they won't listen because they are rebellious. Let me read King James. He said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of rebellious house, which have eyes and see not. They have ears and hear not. For they are rebellious house. This is God speaking. He said, there is a group of people, they have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, they cannot hear, because they are a rebellious people. So have you seen how God is describing anybody who is a rebellious person? It means the person lacks discernment. So God's definition for discernment in Ezekiel, God was trying to say that anybody that lacks discernment have eyes but cannot see. Anybody that lacks discernment have ears but cannot hear. Hey. Ready? Father, don't give me eyes that cannot see. I reject that thing. Father, I don't want to have ears that cannot hear. What is the essence of me having big eyes cannot see? What is the essence of me having big ears but cannot hear? Lord, I prefer hearing from you than hearing from men. Because, sir, this life is governed in the spirit. It's not governed in the flesh. We live life in the spirit, not in the flesh. Before you walked up, every activity that is supposed to happen to you in the next 5 years happened to you in the dream. But because of lack of sensitivity, some of us, we couldn't even perceive that this is a message, this is an attack. We just took it normal and we are walking about. By the time you begin to lose money, by the time you begin to lose certain things, by the time you, now that you, Papa, something I don't even understand. Papa, I don't even understand. Papa, I don't. But God showed you certain things that you would have prevented. But because of lack of discernment, you couldn't perceive. You had eyes to see, but you couldn't see. You had ears to hear, but you couldn't hear. But from today, may God open your eyes. May God open your ears. May God sharpen your discernment in the name of Jesus. Give me Acts chapter 28, the verse 27. That is the same thing that is there. Acts 28:27. He said, for the heart of these people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Check it well. Read it well. They have eyes, they cannot see. In fact, they cannot see. He said, for the heart, the understanding of the soul of these people have become dull. And with their eyes, they scarcely hear. Did you see? With their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have shut their eyes to the truth. Otherwise, they might see the truth. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return to me, and I will heal them. This is what God is saying. Because some of us, we lack discernment. What is supposed to help them, they don't see it. What is supposed to favor them, they don't see it. What is supposed to help them, they don't see it. What is supposed to help them, they don't see it. I have seen somebody, anytime her helpers comes onto her, do you know what she does? A certain foolish, uncontrolled anger just steps into her heart. And she begins to say nonsense to the person till the person goes. And she will come back to herself. Hey, what have I done? 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 Hey, like that. There are many of us, our discernment are so low. And it is so down because we cannot perceive. We have big, big eyes, but we cannot see. Our eyes is like Poma eyes, but still we cannot see. Our ears are like a Bojan's ears. Still we cannot see. We cannot hear. We cannot hear. We cannot hear. That is the problem we have. Lack of discernment is the reason why we lose many things. If I tell you personally, what has God really spoken to you about your life? When you look at your life, what do you perceive? How do you discern the will of God in your life? How do you discern the anointing of God upon your life? How do you discern your destiny? How is your destiny? Are you on the track? Are you sure you are on the track? Are you sure God is, you know, you don't even know, because I'm telling you, you don't even know. Hey. Let me move to the next point. I don't have much time. Okay? Let me just give you a short explanation like that so that I can deal with whatever I want to deal with. Number two, the reason why people lose things in their life, say carelessness. Abba, this word there, I don't even know how to say it so that it will pain you. Carelessness. People are so careless. Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, the verse 3. I know somebody who lost about 10,000 Ghana cedis because of carelessness. Do you know? The money was with her in the bag. Okay, let me read the scripture. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Have you seen? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them, that heard him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It means that your escape route is attached to you being vigilant. So if you neglect it, you can never escape. There are many of us, we are prone to fail. I'm not saying things like a prophet of doom. I'm telling you reality. Some of us, we are prone to fail by nature. Do you know why? Because of our carelessness. We are very careless. I know a lady that lost 10,000 in a car. Do you know what she was doing? She was just chatting and was laughing. I know it was a guy, because no lady will be chatting with her colleague friend and will be laughing like that. I know it was a guy. Chatting like that, chatting. She's not looking whether she has gotten to her destination. No. She was just chatting and laughing. like a witch, like that, chatting and was laughing. Throughout for 25 minutes of drive, the lady was chatting on the phone and was laughing, not knowing the bag she was holding, there was money. She just left the bag and just gave the money to the driver. She didn't even take change. She had forgotten and she was chatting and was laughing. That is carelessness. Many believers have demonstrated carelessness in their life. They have demonstrated carelessness in opportunities. Most of us, God has given us opportunities. We were so careless that we lost those opportunities. Amen. Be very careful when God begins to expose you to great people. Be very careful how you talk to them. Be very careful how you handle them, or else your carelessness will let them lose you. You will lose them. Some of us, we are so careless. We are so careless when it comes to prophetic words. We are so careless. We don't even value words. We don't even value prophetic messages. Very careless. You will travel and she's sleeping. She thinks that sleeping brings the traveling. You will marry and she's busy watching telenovela. And she thinks that watching telenovela will bring the marriage. Sir, because we are so careless, that is why any blessing that is released upon us is not working, because with our carelessness is not even activating certain things like strength for us to work it out. We are so careless when it comes to commitment. You will see somebody working and the person is busy making a call. Very careless when it comes to commitment. Working and making a call at the same time. Talk for 15 minutes. Talk for 20 minutes. And even forget his work until he sees the boss. Hey, my boss is coming. My boss is coming. Please, my boss is coming. My boss. Carelessness. Now, when you lose your job, is it the devil who is doing you, or you are doing yourself? Carelessness. Is killing us. When we preach like this, I don't know why I preach like this and people are quiet. Can I show you one scripture in the Bible of somebody who was so great but very careless? The guy was so careless by words. Maybe explain me. Can we are? Well, after reading it, please give me the King James Version. After reading it, you say, but I will explain for you to know that some of us, we've said the same thing. We are so careless of words. Give me Judges chapter 11, the verse 30. We are reading to 35. Judges chapter 11, the verse 30. We are reading to 35. This is the story of Jephthah. It's an interesting story. I want you to read it. As I'm reading, you can read along with me and really understand what the Bible said. Now listen to it. It said, "And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall I surely be the loss, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Okay. So Jephthah, your baby will be active, don't worry. By the time I finish the message, your baby will be active. Okay, don't worry. So Jephthah passed over. Please, can you get me a simpler version so that I want everybody to understand what I'm reading? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Kavara de bola fisalis. Simpete legadus kapalis.
Yes, can you get me a simpler version so that I want everybody to understand? Now, the place we are reading for, Jephthah made a vow. He made a promise. He made a promise. Do you know the promise he told God? He said, God, I am going to the battlefield. When you give me victory over my enemies, when I'm coming home, anybody that will meet me first, I will use him as a sacrifice unto you. Can you see how careless somebody can be? How can a man be so careless that he can speak such a word? I just want to read it so that you get it. It said, then Jephthah went over. Then, where am I reading now? Then Jephthah went over to fight the... I said, Judges chapter 11, the verse 30 to 35. A break. Give me a much simpler version. I'm waiting. You can do it piece by piece. Maybe you can do three verses at the same time. Don't try to bring all because in the mimkom. So, and Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. Can I get a simpler version? If you give the Ammonite into my hands, he said, whatever comes out of my door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph, for the Ammonite will be the loss, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. Did you hear the 31? Have you seen what kind of nonsense man is this? That you make a vow and you tell God that you are going to a battlefield. When God gives you victory, when you are coming home, anybody that will meet you from your house, you will use the person as a sacrifice. The guy made this promise, think forgotten that he has a daughter. This is purely carelessness. The guy made this promise, simply forgotten that this guy had a daughter. Let's just read on. Verse 32. Then Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonite, and the Lord gave them into his hands. He devastated 20 towns from Ariel to the vicinity of Minith, as far as Abel what? Keramin. Thus Israel subdued Ammon. 34. Give me 34 and 35 quickly. 34 and 35. 34 and 35. When Jephthah returned to the home in Mizpah, who should come out to meet him but his daughter? Did you hear that? So when Jephthah returned, the first person who met him was his daughter dancing to the sound of timbrels, and she was an only child. Except for her, he had neither son or daughter. Look at the verse 35. And when he saw her, he tore his clothes and cried, "Oh no, my daughter, you have brought me down, and I'm devastated. I have made a vow to the Lord that I cannot break." Did you hear that? I have made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot break. This is one of the careless person I've ever met in this earth. I always tell people that when you are angry, don't speak. When you are excited, don't make any promise. These two wisdoms, never leave it. When you are angry, don't talk. When you are excited, never make a promise. Sir, words are powerful. Do you know that Jephthah lost the daughter because he told God that when I come, anybody that I will see first, who will come and meet me on my way, I will use that person as a sacrifice. I don't know who such a man who is so careless like this. Can I explain it now so that you understand? Let me tell you. Let me tell you point blank, sir, ma. That is the exact words most of us we've also said to the Lord.
Some of us, we've told the Lord that because of what Kwabuta did unto us, we will never marry. Will we even trust any man ever again? Is it not what you say? Yes. Have you seen that the marital glory is being delayed and you are fighting with somebody who is truthful because of these words you spoke? Because of these words you spoke, some of us after today, we need to start crying for mercy. Because we are our own problem, not the devil. We they call some, nobody, we they call some. Because many battles you are fighting today is the battles you brought on yourself by speaking it into your life. The reason why most of us, we are careless is as a result of two things. Number one, we are not being led by the Spirit. Number two, we are not being led by the Word of God. This is the reason why we make careless statements, careless things. No. God is a God of principle. Please, it's not just a loving God, though. It's a God of principle. Don't be deceived. God is a God of principle. That is why he said we should give and it shall be given unto us. That principle is not for only believers. It's for unbelievers. Everybody who follows that principle, it works for you. So God is a God of principle. When you tell him, the Lord, I am making a vow. Some of us, we've made vows unto the Lord. I want to remember some of you if you don't know. Some of us, we have made vows unto the Lord that if the Lord does something to us, we will do it for him. Do you know that when the Lord did it for you, you didn't do it for him? Do you know that? You are putting much problem on your... You dear... When you were in need, did you forget that you were in need? That is what we call carelessness. If you don't know what you are saying, keep quiet and just pray. Most of us, we have made certain statements that is affecting us. Me, I will never trust any man. Indeed, men have come into your life, and all the men that have come, indeed, you cannot trust them, because when they even come, because of what they have said, that is what the devil will always bring onto you. People that will cause you to lose trust almost all the time. So even if the Lord brings an angel unto you, even if the Lord brings an angel to you, because of what you have said, it will become like a curse following you. You will never see that it is an angel because of what you have said. Carelessness. We are so careless when it comes to words. Do you know some of us, we have even cursed certain people? Some of us, through anger, you've even cursed somebody. Yeah. Please, I'm preaching the word. I'm telling you the reason why most of us, we lose things. Carelessness. Don't forget. Carelessness. And that is what I'm explaining to you now. That the reason why most of us, we make careless decisions, we release careless words, is because of two things. I said the first one is because we are not being led by the Word of God. We are not being led by the Word of God. Number two, we are not being led by the Spirit. That is why the Bible said that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. And a light unto my path. Is it not true? Good. The Word of God is able to direct your path. So anybody that walks with God's Word can control his destiny well, because the Word of God will control even your speech, even your language, even the things you say, the way you walk, the way you act. The Word of God can control it. The second one is the Spirit of God. That is why the Bible said that for as many who are led by the Spirit, they are called the sons of God. For as many who are led by the Spirit, they are called the sons of God. Sir, if you are led by God's word and you are led by the Spirit, there is no way you ever lose something. There is no way you ever make careless decisions in life. Careless.
I remember a certain lady. I even paid her school fees. Her parents rejected her. I went and took her into my room. I was sleeping with her in one room. I remember that lady. Groom her till she began to preach and even sing and prophesy. And pride entered into this lady because when you even tell her, please, can you come and let's go for a program, she will tell you she is busy. You will see another man of God will call her. She will quickly go. I kept on looking at her for a long time. One day, a friend intentionally called her in front of me and said, hey, so you, who is your spiritual father? Is it Brother Dave? Then she said, no. Brother Dave is just my friend. My spiritual father is Apostle Joshua Sama. A lady I took and I was taking care of her, the parents sacked her from the house, was a Muslim lady. When my friend told me, I bowed my head and I said, okay. Now, she's begging to come close. Now, she's begging to come close, but there is no gap. Most of us, very careless. Mercy wine, please. Do you know the years I'm talking about? This is about 5 years now. I've even forgotten about him. I just made it as an example. You should expect. My God. Can I tell you, church, let me teach you this. I don't know why the Holy Ghost is imprinting in my heart to really talk about this carelessness. Do you know why, the reason why people make careless decisions? Can I tell you? Can I tell you the reason why people make careless decisions? Number one, their emotions. Their emotions. Because decisions are based on three platforms. Now I'm coming to teach you, Papa. I pray that you will not forget this. Decision making are built on three platforms. The first one is called emotions. The second one is called reasoning. And the third one is called discernment. This is the three platforms people make decisions. Whenever you make decision based on your emotions, when you talk about your emotion stands for your feelings. You get what I'm trying to say? Your feelings, as in your feelings, how you felt, how maybe something happened, how you felt made you made a decision. You get what I'm trying to say? Yes. So people can make decisions based on emotions. That is the feelings. The second reason people make decisions, they make decisions on reasons. When I talk about reasons, I'm talking about principles. You know, the person's personal philosophies. He bases his decision based on the principles that govern Nabra, but they make a decision. And when you be catch us, say, me principle, ne say, me, maybe they do what this a minute, what the bear five, and now say, what wa mommy and son of my warrior, the principle, no. So any decision he makes the decision based upon his principle. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Good. And the third one, or the third platform that people make decisions, is that they make decisions out of discernment. The discernment stands for the voice of God or the word of God. So they follow the word of God or the voice of God in order to make decision for themselves. It means that in all these three, when you are ranking it according to priority, the first one that should have been ahead was supposed to be discernment. Before anybody can make any decision in life, the first thing you need is discernment, because you need the voice of God in order to make the decision. The second one that must come after is that you need your reason or your principles. The third, the least of them should be your emotions. And do you know why? Most of us, we have left the discernment. Most of us, we have left the reasonings. And now most of us, we are dwelling on the platform of emotions. So most of us, we are living relationship, we are living, doing ministries, doing whatever, living life based on our emotions, our feelings. Sana me feeling, catch me. I just felt that. That is why in this life, both frustration and excitement can lead to emotions. Both frustrations and excitement can lead to emotions. Because when you are frustrated, you are emotionally imbalanced. Is it not true? So any decision you make when you are frustrated is that you are imbalanced. So the decisions will be imbalanced. When you are excited too, you are imbalanced. I'm telling you. When you are excited too, you are imbalanced. Can I give you a story in the Bible? In Matthew chapter 14, the verse 6 and 11. Are you being blessed tonight? Are you being blessed? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 14, the verse 6 and 11. Let me teach you something quickly. Get me that scripture quickly. He said, on Herod's birthday, the daughter of the Herodias danced for the guest and pleased Herod so much. I want you to note that word. On Herod's birthday. So anytime you hear birthday, you know that excitement day. Is it not true? So on Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herod, the Herodias, danced for the guest and pleased Herod so much. Have you seen the word pleased? That means excited Herod so much. Look at one careless decision. He said his head was so brought in on a platter. Oh. I said 6 to 11, sir. 6 to 11. Okay, good. Verse 7, that he promised with an oath. Look at somebody just dancing before you, and you were so happy, and the person made an oath. Ah! Mumu bisa. Eba se yana me mani obi beye ah. Enye iPhone no bidi ye wa odo body man. Enye iPhone. Is it not 1,000 cedis that you gave your body? This thing, when we say, you say, oh.
A lady just danced before a man. That is why men, we are so fragile. Be very careful. Ladies are so prophetic. They have ways to entice you. Hey, a lady just danced before a king, and the king lost his senses and said, I want to make an oath. Ask me anything you want on this earth, even to the half of my throne, and I'll give it to you. Look at nonsense. Just dancing, keke. Imagine if, no wonder Samson's head was off. If they had caught Samson's head, Samson wouldn't have. Hey! Woman! Don't know. Samson wouldn't have found out that his head is even caught. Still! A woman can dance for a whole king to lose his sense and said that, ask anything and I'll give it to you. What kind of carelessness is that? Ask anything. That means if the lady said, I want your throne, do you know that right there, the king would have gotten up from the throne? Indeed, the question is, why didn't this sense come in the head of the king? Carelessness. This is careless. We are talking about carelessness. Okay, get me the scripture so that I can read it for everybody to hear. Just get me the scriptures. Okay, now. So when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she asked. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Did you hear that? The king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at the meat, he commanded it to be given unto her. So they beheaded John the Baptist because somebody danced and it pleased the king. This is a prophet dying very, very careless death because a lady danced. And the king made a certain foolish promise that she was not supposed to make. That is why when ladies began to come around men, sometimes men even lose their sense of thoughtfulness, their sense of reasoning, their sense of discernment. Ladies have the power to take away that sense from you. That is why, listen, when a lady needs money from a guy, sir, no matter how you are praying in tongues, she has a way to just talk to you, use his hand to just move your... By the time you empty your account, ladies, fear them. Last time Bo Jane was singing. When Bo Jane was singing, I thought this one day, I said I will be Herod Pair. This singing will catch me so that I will give her money. Bo Jane sang and I realized the song cry irritated me. I had to collect money instead. This singing is not, it doesn't bring the Holy Ghost. You need to pay. You've even made the Holy Ghost to move out of me. Please, you need to pay me so that you will come back. It's serious. Ladies are so carnal in nature. So when I say, I'm not referring to canal, as in cunning, they are very strategic in nature. Listen, when a lady says obey, you forget your anointing. When a lady says obey, she will forget your prayer, your tongues, your sunku katala. Forget it. Why? No, forget it. If a lady say you today, I will kiss you. Achiyake. Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, no, 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 brethren in the Lord. All things are lawful, but it is not all things that are expedient. I have the right to do all things, but it is not all things that are good for me. If you don't look for a place to run and be standing there, all things, by the time all your saliva will be dehydrated. What? Yeah, she will swallow all your saliva. You'll be dehydrated. Oh dear, you done it. Nigeria has a vida. Hey, which one? Don't even try. Hallelujah. Somebody made a careless promise because a lady danced. Can I tell you? People are governed by their emotions. So the king was so excited that he didn't even think again. That is why I'm telling you, when you are excited, be very careful the way you talk. Mumu bi mu de meka pa 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 mu de enigie kasa ye mu de meka pa 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 me say nan say meba mu da ye mu. I'm coming to your dream. some of you you to you frustration to talk, you to appear in your dream. I will come and do to you what I will come to do. You will see. hallelujah. So you now realize, because of carelessness, people are not normally thoughtful. Because of carelessness, when they are doing something, they don't think before they do it. Have you realized? When people are so careless, they don't even think before they do something. By the time they realize, they have done it. When people are careless, they are not being guided by the word of God, and they are not being guided by the Spirit of God. Am I talking to people at all? Yes. I think I've dwelled enough with carelessness. Can I move forward further? Can I move further? Okay. Number 3. The reason why people lose things on earth, or lose things in their life and in their destiny. Number 3, because of ignorance to the laws of the kingdom. Ignorance. In Psalm 82, the verse 5. Give me that scripture. Psalm 82, the verse 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It said, the ghost you know nothing. Please, can you get me King James? Why don't you like King James like that? Please get me King James, I beg. They know not, neither will they understand. He said they walk in darkness. He said all the foundation of the earth are out of course. Did you hear it? They know not, neither do they understand. Sir, if you don't know and you don't understand, if you are ignorant of the principles of God or the laws of God, even that governs this kingdom, if you don't know, give me the verse 6. Add the verse 6. And you understand why he's saying that they don't know. Add the verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, they know not, neither do they understand. They walk in darkness, and all the foundation of the earth are out of course. He said, I have said that ye are gods. Did you hear that? And all of you are children of the Most High. So have you seen the reason why they don't know? So most of us, we don't know who we are in the kingdom. We don't know the laws that governs us. We don't know who we are. We don't know the principles of God's kingdom. We don't know the laws that governs this environment, the way we live, the way we act, the laws that governs marriage, the laws that governs certain business fields of your life. You don't know. That is why you keep on losing things. Mommy, give me Proverbs chapter 19, the verse 2. That is why I tell you, the platform for victory, it is called knowledge. I'm telling you. He said also that the soul be without knowledge. This is Proverbs 19:2. He said, a soul should not be without knowledge. It is not good. Did you hear that? A soul should not be without knowledge. It is not good. It says zeal without knowledge is not good. Zeal without knowledge is not good. How do you have zeal without knowledge? It's frustration. Beauty without brains. It's a frustration. Zeal without knowledge. You have zeal. You have no knowledge. Listen, the platform of victory is called knowledge. You need to have knowledge. Have you seen I've been talking about knowledge for the past 2 days now? I'm telling you, we need to get knowledge. Ignorance is the reason why we lose many things. Ignorance. That is what Paul said, for we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he gains advantage over us. If you are ignorant of the devil, he will always gain advantage. He will always use his advantage because of your ignorance, because it is the platform that the enemy breathes on is ignorance. So the enemy dominates men by ignorance. The enemy fights men by ignorance. The enemy manipulates men by ignorance. So your destiny is being manipulated because you are ignorant. Am I talking to people at all? You are ignorant. Give me this last scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, the verse 18. Quickly, let me move. Let me push it. Ephesians chapter 4, the verse 18. Quickly. Let me push it very fast. Ephesians 4, 18. Yes. If you cannot see it, let me go to the fourth point. So don't forget, the reason why people lose things, don't forget, number one is what? Lack of discernment. Number two is carelessness. Number three is ignorance of the laws of God. It said, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of them. They have been alienated. Because their ignorance in tea, they cannot enjoy the rightful things God has given to them. Ignorance. You can bring it in other versions if you want. Ignorance. The fourth reason why people lose things. I want you to type this. Abuse and misuse. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the reason why people lose things? We abuse many things God gives to us. And we misuse everything God gives to us. Abuse and misuse. This is a major point. This is one of the major points, abuse and misuse. The word abuse comes from two words. It is two words they have combined. Who can tell me? No, the word abuse. Who can tell me? Let me see. So that I'll give the person dollars. Yes, I'll give you dollars. How much dollars do you want? How much dollars do you want? So the word abuse, you want $1,000. Okay, send me your dollar account. Let me push $1,000 to you.
Yes.
So the word abuse comes from two words. That is abnormal use. So when you abnormally use something, it means you have abused it. Now, do you get the meaning of abuse? So when we say somebody has abused something, he has used it beyond the normal. This point, when I dwell on this point, I know everybody will stop talking. That abuse and misuse. Hey. Most of us, we have abused many things. We have abused assets, we have abused privileges, we have abused opportunities, we have abused moments. I remember my papa said that a son came from the US and told him that he wanted to marry. So papa should get a wife for him, you know. So as they were talking, papa said that, oh, I know one girl in the church. She joins the choir. Okay, let's go and visit her. Oh. When they go to the lady's house, come and see. Eningwasi akwaba. The lady was talking, hey, papa. Then he will hit my papa. My papa was confused and was looking. I said, what has come over this girl? He said, she would talk to them and be laughing and she would hit my papa. Hey, papa. Hey. No, papa. The guy was looking at the lady. I said, ah. Then the lady left my papa and came to the guy and said, blood you. No, hey, papa dear. Hey, papa dear, sir. What are they saying? Then the guy looked at papa and said, please, papa, please, can we go? Then papa said, please, we came to just say hi to you, so we are going. When they left, I said, ah, papa, is that your daughter? And he said, I don't even know what came over her. He said, is she okay? Are you sure she has not gone to a psychiatric home before? When she is talking, she doesn't even come. At least she should give us a chair, like, you know, welcome. No. The guy said, okay, don't worry, papa. It's okay. It's like, I'll know what to do. Don't worry. I'll get a new one. And the guy left. When the guy left, the next day, the lady came to church. When the lady came to church, good morning, papa. I was here. When Jai said, Jimmy, let me see a power in his own. Me, good morning. Give me a new one. Papa, what are you? Papa, give me my. This is how Brant and I'm in a bar. No, so. Opelba intimate ne ba won chain wa show na ne ni je ho am ma sha anamwatu no aware papa say wan ganje de mi so fa o jimi free music that is what she told. I said, fa o jimi free music. If I tell you, let me show you one scripture in the Bible. You know, whenever I'm talking, I want to use scripture so that you understand that whatever we say is in the Bible. Do you get it? Give me 1 Samuel chapter 2, the verse 12 to 17. 1 Samuel chapter 2, the verse 12 to 17. I want to use Hophni and Phinehas, their life too. explain abuse and misuse to you. Now listen to me. It said, now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest servant came while the flesh was in sewing with the flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand, and he stuck it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all Israel that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest servant came. And said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desire, then he will answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhor the offerings. Oh, hurry up. I just want to complete it. Offerings of what? Also, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Listen to me. This is the story of Hophni. You can read it in your own version, okay, so that you get it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2, the verse 12 to 17. The Bible said that Hophni and Phinehas, this is what they were doing. Anytime somebody comes to sacrifice, because in those times, you either sacrifice a sheep, a goat, or a cow, you know? Yes. So when somebody comes to sacrifice unto the Lord, do you know what they do? Hophni and Phinehas will go and tell the people that, please, we want to look at the meat because we want to test the ones that are good for the Lord. And they will use something like a fork, and they will take the fleshly part of the meat and tell them to use the rest to burn to the Lord. In other words, they always take the fattest portion of the meat. And sometimes when somebody is trying to burn a sacrifice, they can go and tell the person that the priest said he wants a raw meat, so don't burn it. Give it to us so that we can go and eat. He said the people didn't like what they were doing. Because of that, they stopped giving sacrifices in the temple. Do you know why? Because their father was a man of God, they abused the priestly office, and God was very angry with them. They kept on misbehaving in the temple, sir. They kept on misbehaving in the temple. I pray that whatever will cause you to abuse and misuse your destiny, may the Lord have mercy on you and help you. In Jesus' mighty name. Let me give you the last point so that I'll close. Number six. The reason why people lose things in their life, the last one, number six, is tests and trials. This is one of the dangerous of all, tests and trials. Mami, unim so betimi a konso hwebi mo anhwe ya adepa bia wo bia obetimi ahwero. Do you know that? Sometimes we can go through certain problems in life that if we are not careful, every good thing you have, you can lose it. Eh? Give me James chapter 1, the verse 2 and 3. James chapter 1, the verse 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. James chapter 1, the verse 2 and 3. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, worketh patience." Did you hear that? The trying of your faith, it worketh patience. It means that there are times in life that our faith will be tried. There are sometimes we will lose certain blessings of us. We will lose certain opportunities because of the temptation and the trial we are going through. Can I tell you this? David was rejected and lost his throne because his son was looking to kill him. And the Bible said that he was chased from the house and they went to stay in Adullam. Okay? David lost his throne because his son wanted to kill him. And he was chased even to a point that he lost his throne and went and stayed in Adullam. He didn't enjoy proper food. He lost proper food. He lost many things in the Bible. He lost many things as a king because of test and because of trial. Joseph, upon everything he had, Joseph later ended in prison because he was falsely accused by a woman that said she raped her. Joseph lost every position he had. Joseph lost every position he had because he was forcefully accused. Sometimes when you go through certain things, the truth of the matter is that it can make you lose certain things. It can make you lose certain things. But the truth of the matter is that I have a good news to you. Can I tell you the good news before we close? No matter what you have lost in life, the Lord can still restore it unto you. And this is why the Lord said, I should tell you that no matter what you've lost, whether through your carelessness, whether through your ignorance, whether through your tests, whether through your lack of discernment, whatever you've lost, I prophesy, may the Lord restore unto you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My God. My God. My God. So right now, when I do a quick survey right now, God bless you.